Are you ready to experience the rich interconnection of spirituality, orientation, and identity? If so, plan to attend Liberating Your Divine Identity, a retreat at Unity Village during Pride Month, June 9th to the 12th. This soul-filled retreat is facilitated by LGBTQIA+ Unity Ministers, with workshops and ceremonies to cultivate a deeper awareness of our spiritual nature. Register at unityvillage.org/IAmDivine2022.
Experience the difference. Unity Online Radio. The voice of an awakening world.
Welcome to World Spirituality, exploring the unity within all cultures and faith traditions, with your host, Reverend Paul John Roach.
So, hello and welcome to World Spirituality on the Unity Online Radio Network. I've never thought about it before, but the music sounds like the Elephant of Enlightenment galumphing across the prairie there as we start the show. Kind of fun. Yes, I'm your host, Paul John Roach, coming to you from a relatively cool day, actually, in Fort Worth, Texas. Today, I welcome the author of It's called Soul Healing with Our Animal Companions, The Hidden Keys to a Deeper Animal-Human Connection. And Tammy Billups is a certified interface therapist. She's an animal bioenergy healer, and she's a pioneer, actually, in the animal-human-emotional-energetic relationship. She's appeared on The Daily Show and Oprah and other outlets talking about this fascinating subject. So it's a pleasure to welcome Tammy to today's show. Welcome, Tammy.
Thank you, Paul. Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
You know, animals and pets are so important, aren't they? And you've got a quite an amazing quote from Eckhart Tolle in your book. It's on page 80, and I'd like to read it because I'm really pleased that he would write this, number one, but I think it's also so true and so apropos, certainly to the book you've written. He says, the vital function that pets fulfill in this world hasn't been fully recognized. They keep millions of people sane. Wow, that's quite a quote, isn't it?
True.
Yeah. And I think it's true, isn't it? Without our pets, I know they've done studies that, blood pressure goes down. There's less risk of serious illness if you're in a good relationship with your pet. So it's a proven thing here that they do keep us healthy and maybe sane as well, yeah?
They are messengers, I believe, especially for those that have had any type of healing work that they haven't done yet on relationships with people in their past. They'll let animals in their lives in ways that they won't people, and then they are used by the universe and God in ways that people are not even realizing. It's an amazing gift.
You know, a number of people think that animals don't have souls or don't really have emotions, but you can't be around an animal or a pet or any other creature that's not a part of the human race, right? There's so many other creatures on this planet. Can't be around one of those creatures without realizing that they are highly attuned in terms of emotion and personality and obviously have a life force and a soul. So, I think you'd be crazy to think they're not part of that intelligence that is the universe, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that, it deserves a bless their hearts if they don't believe that animals are sentient beings. It just hasn't come up in their path yet. So I hope that it does, because animals are, I think, so much more evolved than us. They're so much more connected. They don't lose that present moment connection. They're teaching us in everything that they do. It's amazing.
And that you mentioned sentient beings. That's something nice from the Buddhist tradition, isn't it? That they extend beyond just the human to include all sentient beings, in our compassion, and because they're all worthy to receive, right, and to give, because we live in a reciprocal universe, right? What goes around comes around. You mentioned that quite a bit in the book, that we care for our pets, yes, but they also care for us. There's definitely a reciprocal arrangement going on.
There certainly is. And when people are aware of that, raising awareness around that, then it could really help the animals in them so that they can pivot the animals out of potential negative behaviors or something they're trying to tell them by being able to understand that they are their teachers and mirrors, right?
Absolutely. So before we get into more depth on that, tell us a little bit about your story. And you mentioned it in the opening chapters of the book, you know, some of the traumas that you went through and the shift you had in terms of opening to both spirit and to this understanding of, you know, connection with animals. Just a brief little summation of that, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I had been very close to animals, almost codependent type relationships, because they opened my heart to know love. I received unconditional love from animals before I did people. And so we kind of hang on a little bit tightly to that. But once I awakened to my spiritual path and began receiving, you know, past memories and whatnot that I had to deal with, it was the animals that I really wanted to serve with my newfound gifts. You know, and I could see where animals had been carrying me through my 20s and my 30s by absorbing my pain and mirroring for me what I needed to work on, but I didn't know it. I was taking notes at the time, but I didn't know what to do with it. So, yeah, my path in working with both people and animals has changed my life, and I think that that's what I'm here to do, is to teach people how they can better understand their animals so that they can heal together and move forward and evolve more quickly to know more love in their hearts.
It's easier sometimes to love our pets, isn't it, than it is to love another human being, I guess, because pets in general, you know, exhibit unconditional love. They're very accepting, whereas, you know, unfortunately, some people aren't very accepting. They can push up buttons. They can be even ugly and hurtful, etc. An animal is rarely that way. You know, even in extremis, it's not. It doesn't exhibit some of those negative traits that unfortunately human beings do.
Right, I know, and I think that, you know, those human beings that exhibit those traits have a lot to learn from animals, right? And especially
right, exactly.
The ones that don't treat animals well, because, you know, if they're not treating animals or people around them very well, you can bet they're not treating themselves very well either.
Well, there was a thing on the Facebook last week about these something to do with pigs. You know, the people wrestle pigs, and it was awful because they're like six or seven men on this one pig, and it's in a bunch of mud and everything, and it's supposed to be fun. You know, I think people are betting on it or whatever. And of course we've heard of, you know, dog baiting and all that, and cockfighting and various things like that, and happen in our present day. You know, you think about them happening in the Middle Ages or whatever. Unfortunately, it's alive and well here in the backyard, right? But people just treat animals like as we used to say, like animals. You know, and it's such a misnomer, isn't it? Because we are way worse than animals. Yeah.
Yes, and it is very disheartening that it is still going on, and I have to believe and hold space that we are all raising awareness around this, and I think it's changing. You know, I have to hope that it's changing anyway, that there's going to be less and less of it. You know, there's those certain animals that are going through that. Hopefully they're going through it so that we can find out and we can help them and we can change things so that people can realize that animals are sentient beings.
Right. Yeah. So you had this shift in you know, had some loss in your life, a shift in the direction of deepening your understanding. And then it's gone from there, right? Like we said earlier, you've been on all these TV shows and everything. You're well known in this field. And it's important. Now, why is it such a passion for you? If you could explain the essence of it, what fires you up the most?
I want to be able to help animals and people heal together and raise their awareness. I do feel like I owe animals or the animal kingdom in general this service from me, because they did carry me through at times where I did not know how to carry myself. And I see that happening with so many others too, and especially a lot of people in rescue work. They'll be all about the animals and not realize that the animals are mirroring something for them. But yes, through those losses, I definitely awakened to a new way of being, and being able to help animals and people heal together is what motivates me to allow more less suffering and more love in the relationships is what I'm all about. I feel like it's what I'm wired to do is exactly what you and I are talking about right now, is to help people realize that once they raise their awareness around animals and understand the hidden reasons and the higher purpose of the relationship, then there can be less suffering for them both and more love for them both. And that's magic right there.
You know, it fascinates me, the historic relationship we've had with domesticated animals, you know, including our pets, and goes back thousands and thousands of years, doesn't it? And probably started because they were there as protection or to catch rats and mice or whatever. But it's developed way beyond that, right? So, to faithful companions. And there's so many stories of, the faithfulness of dogs, whatnot, throughout mythology. I'm thinking of Odysseus when he arrived home. You know, his faithful dog was so old, but he waited until his master came before he died. And there are many other stories like that of faithful dogs. There's one from where I grew up in Wales where the dog was guarding the baby while the king was out. And anyway, in the middle of that, a wolf came and tried to kill the baby, and the faithful dog killed the wolf. But when the master came back, when the king came back, all he saw was a terrible mess and everything overturned, and he was fearful for his child and blamed the dog, killed the dog. And then he realized after he killed the dog that it was the wolf that had done the damage, and the dog had killed the wolf. And of course, a terribly sad story, but speaks to the faithfulness of that animal companion. And I've got a rescue dog. Big old mutt. He's like 65, 70 pounds. I'm not sure what he is exactly, but he's a beautiful dog. Initially I thought, oh no, I don't want to have a dog that big around the house, you know, but my wife and her daughters, you know, persuaded me. But it's been like 8 or 9 wonderful years now because, you know, the dog is so loving and giving, I would say, you know, comes up to us for a pet and whatnot, you know, and will do anything for us, basically. I mean, it likes food and responds to that, but it also likes, the affection, I think, that we can give. And we receive so much affection from him, too. So it's a wonderful thing, isn't it, that connectedness that's historic over thousands of years.
Yes, and they mirror our best self, right? You know, right. I tell people all the time that whatever they see in their animals is in them. And lots of times that's their big message, is that they're hoping that you will understand how wonderful you are, that you will look in the mirror and see what they see. And that when you get that, then they're getting high fives on the other side when they cross over, right?
Right. There we go. So there are dogs in heaven. There are cats in heaven, right?
I believe that, yes. I mean, that's what I believe. We all know for sure when we croak, right? But what's on the
right.
other side,
yeah.
I absolutely believe that the soul continues and that there is a soul in everything that's alive.
Right, absolutely. Well, and it may not be a distinct soul. I mean, I think there's all kinds of interpretations of what a soul is. And I think the old idea that it's kind of like a distinct, separate thing or whatever may not be, that's not a very subtle understanding of what soul is, but soul is essence, isn't it? The essence of who we are.
Yes.
And obviously that continues, you know, the essence of you is never born, it can never die. So it's definitely going to continue in some form. We're not privy to exactly how that works, perhaps, but we don't need to. You know, Jesus said, God is God of the living, not of the dead. So focus on how you live your life now. You know, what happens later will take care of itself, I think.
Exactly. And the animals, especially dogs, well, all animals, but I mean, the ones that get closer to us are used more for our teachings for us. So the ones that aren't as close to us, they aren't going, you know, nature can give us messages, but those that we really let hold up in our heart, then they're really going to be our best mirrors, our best teachers.
Right. And the thing about animals, it seems, is that they spend more time in the present moment than we do, right? We're encouraged on our spiritual path to be in the present moment, because there is only the present moment in truth. You know, the past is gone. It's just a memory, and the future is simply a projection forward. So we only have the now, and it seems like animals embody that now quality quite brilliantly.
Oh my gosh, yes. And they live more from the right side of their brains, because they haven't unlearned. They haven't taught, you know, been taught that it's in society to get more left brained, right? So they're just more intuitive, they're more instinctive. They are perfect models for being in the present moment. And they
right.
a lot of times help us really get out of our stuff so that we can be in the present moment too.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, there's nothing like the joy of an animal, too. You know, I mean, again, it can be centered around food, because they're really into food. That's okay. You know, we're into food, too, as human beings. But, you know, there's nothing like the joy of my dog when I'm, you know, feeding him and then taking him for a walk. I mean, it's just every day, never gets tired of it, you know. He's rising up on two legs with such excitement and exuberance, you know. You can't help but feel... oh, this is good. I'm going to have a good day here. If he's having that good a day, I think I will too. So they're inspirers, aren't they? Into that pure joy. If only we could experience the same kind of joy, you know, we'd be a lot happier as people if we could have that same joy that dogs have.
When it's joy for the small things, it's that get into gratitude for the little things in life. They do, you know. To me, that's one of their biggest teachings is that, gosh, did you see this? How wonderful is this? Check this out. You know, it's getting in the gratitude from that heartfelt space, you
right.
know. And they're masters at teaching that. I mean, they are joy bringers, and we need more joy.
Well, and then we come to cats, okay? Let's talk about cats for a minute, because they kind of hide their joy a little bit sometimes, don't they? They're very different from dogs, and everything's laid out. They got their heart on their sleeve, dogs, but cats kind of keep it guarded a little bit, because that's their nature, I guess. But they're still loving too, right? They will come to you in their own sweet time, right? If you want a cat to come, it won't. But if you allow it to come, it will. But you can't control a cat in the way you can a dog, if you see what I mean.
Well, cats are going to be with people that are a little bit more independent, you know.
Right.
So they're going to mirror them in that way. But I've always been a cat person, so I so appreciate when cats can model for me, you know, being more independent, you know, kind of my body, my choice. You know, I mean, they have good boundaries, and yet they're still really loving. I have 2 5-month-old brothers in my house. And so as you were talking, I was laughing, thinking, boy, they're so much about joy. I mean, they could play all day long and through the middle of the night as well. They are so much about play. They are loving life right now. So many cats know how to play very well and bring a lot of joy too. It's just a different type of joy. And you have to like that. You have to want that.
Well, they bring a certain inscrutability too, don't they? A certain wisdom of quietude, you know, of the silence. If dogs remind us of you know, the moment, living in the moment, then cats also provide that, the stillness of the moment, right? The peacefulness. Sometimes,
yeah.
You know, I'll enjoy doing something and have the cat sit near me, because I pick up on their brainwaves or whatever it is. You know, I've mm-hmm. easy to go into alpha because the cat is so peaceful there, enjoying that moment, you know, that stillness. So, again, a lesson
learned.
They say
that when a cat will sit on your lap, that when it purrs, it's actually trying to ground you and get you connected, you know. And
right.
I do believe that their vibration that they're exuding is helping your energy as well to ground. It's pretty amazing. They're very connected.
It is, isn't it? Well, everything's for learning, isn't it? We tend to commodify everything into what's it worth us. You know, we see only things in terms of the products that we've created. And yet at the same time, we have this amazing, just as I said that, a hawk just landed in the tree in front of my my window. Yeah, there we go. See, it's synchronicity again, isn't it? It's the idea that everything's connected. You mentioned this in the book, right? The symbolic presence of things, you know, showing up just like that animal just then showed up and said, here I am. You know, there's more going on than just the built environment and all the things you can buy to make you feel happy. You know, the universe is here with all its multiplicity and beauty.
Yes, and the hawk is about higher vision, higher purpose, seeing things from a higher perspective, and such a wonderful message. That is right in the middle of our interview. I love that.
Yeah, cool, isn't it? Yeah, my daughter, you know, often her mother, my first wife, died of breast cancer, and been 15 years actually today, as it happens. And, you know, whenever she sees a butterfly, that's symbolic for her of her mom being with her. And, you know, because mother loved butterflies and whatnot. But I truly think that's not just, you know, a nice emotional, sentimental thing. I think souls can show up in many forms because they're beyond space or time. So at that moment, you know, it could very well be that connection, right? It's real. It's not just made up nonsense. It's opening to the larger purpose of this universe, you know, and souls can enter into something at that moment that and be teachable, just as the pet you mentioned, this you know, the symbolic meanings that they have for us and things they do in the house.
Yes, I believe that completely. And even when I tell people to look, if they have one dog that has recently passed or transitioned, and then the other dog all of a sudden, maybe for 60 seconds, acts completely and does something that the other dog used to do all the time, you know, where all of a sudden they're up laying in that place or they're begging in the same way that they've never done before. And I said, you got a little gift, you know,
for
your
absolutely.
Animal that path kind of popped in to say, hey, I'm here, I'm okay, you know. And I love those gifts. And the more that we recognize them and the more that we believe in them, the more that nature can bring us those messages that are very confirming in the moment and can bring us peace in the moment when we look up and see a particular animal in nature and we know what their symbol, you know, the symbolic traits are that they are bringing us, the messages, it can bring us a moment of peace and shift us out of wherever our thoughts were. It's pretty incredible. We just have to open up and believe it.
Right. And of course, Native American cultures, you know, are very attuned to this, weren't they, in terms of, and so a lot of shamanic work here, you know, spirit animals, shape-shifting, you know, entering into the consciousness of various animals, various ways of knowing about things and ways of wisdom. And I think this is powerful, too. This whole martial arts system is based on imitating certain moves of animals, right? There's so much wisdom there that we can partake of because we are one soul, one connectedness, really, one consciousness. And that's a beautiful idea to me, too, that, you know, to get away from this crown of creation idea of a hierarchy, you know, with us at the top, and instead see it as a more of a circle or a spiral where we can understand from all beings, right? And especially our pets, because they're so close to us.
Yes, and that's I completely agree with you that the more that we understand and believe that we are all one, then we can see their teachings and we can receive them more easily and feel the love, you know, and send them love. And we can raise consciousness just by sending love. You know, look at the animals who always get out of harm's way, you know, where the people are, you know, the animals are in tune and they are up the mountain before the tsunami arrives, right? You know,
right.
We can be that way as well if we tune into that level of consciousness that they're in.
Powerful stuff. There's a downside to all this, and you talk about this a lot in the book, you know, in terms of wounds that we and animals can have, the various kinds of wounds, the projections, and we can actually overlove something, right? Demand sort of a certain perfection. So I want to talk about that. We're coming towards the end of the first segment, but these are all not negative things. They're ways, again, that we can learn something, right? We can see what we're doing. We can see how we project onto our animals, some of the things that we don't want to look at in ourselves.
Exactly. And
the proverbial kick in the dog, I guess, you know, you're hard at work, so you come home and kick the dog. I mean, that's a sort of a very physical version of this, but it's the same idea, isn't it?
It is, yeah. If you're coming home and you're kicking the dog, there was somebody at work you didn't kick that you wanted to. You know,
right.
That's just the way that it works. So yeah, they mirror. I'm not sure how much time we have left, but we can get into that. They mirror our emotional wounds, and we will absolutely project on them. But we're all here to evolve our souls and heal together, and that's the bottom line.
Right.
You know that when we tune into that we can heal those core emotional wounds that animals have and we have together. It's a lot easier than what people think. It's you know. They're afraid to go to that pain. We think the animals, we're going to protect them from their pain. But what it does is it smothers them instead of releases them.
Yes, powerful. Yeah, and we'll talk more about in the next segment. But let's wrap up this by just telling people, if they want to get in touch with you, Tammy, is there an easy way?
Absolutely. It's TammyBillups.com or Tammy@SundanceHealing.com. They can go on my website. I'm also on Instagram and Facebook under Sundance Healing. So I look forward to hearing from everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. And the book, of course, is available in all the usual outlets.
Yeah.
It's published by Bear & Company, I think. And once again, it's called Soul Healing with Our Animal Companions, The Hidden Keys to a Deeper Animal-Human Connection. And it's a source book, really. There's a whole array of thoughts and ideas in here that can be helpful. And I want to talk about some of the more practical aspects. We've sort of been philosophizing. It's been delightful. But I'm sure that a lot of us are going to want to know a little more, you know, the practical things we could do. So we'll talk about that in the second segment. Join us after these messages from Unity.
Discover the power within. Unity Online Radio. The voice of an awakening world.
When listeners like you contribute to Unity Online Radio, you're making a positive difference in your life and the lives of other spiritual seekers. Go to unityonlineradio.org and click on Donate to make a one-time donation. Or sign up for monthly contributions. Thank you for your support.
Here's Eric Butterworth with a Unity Mindful Moment.
Unfortunately, religions have tended to present themselves as institutions instead of perceptions, something you join instead of a transcendence that you experience. We've tended to believe that God works exclusively through the machinery of an institution. So it is self-evident that most persons believe that you go to church to get close to God. The fact is, if God is present in the church, God is also present in the theater. God is present, period, because God is an omnipresence, everywhere present. So you don't go to church to get close to God. But you go to church, perhaps, hopefully, to be challenged to dig within yourself and to find that consciousness of the presence that is with you wherever you go. So that wherever you go, wherever you are, God is.
To pick up the Eric Butterworth book, Practical Metaphysics, go to unity.org and click on Shop.
Sometimes you might feel so alone with your problems, you don't know where to turn. We invite you to call Silent Unity, the 24/7 prayer ministry, where someone is waiting to pray with you every day at any hour. Listen and relax as you hear their beautiful words affirm the highest and best outcome for you and those you love. No matter what's going on in your life, Silent Unity is always standing by. Call today, 816-969-2000.
Have you looked at Unity Magazine lately? It's been beautifully redesigned, and it's full of interesting in-depth articles and interviews from today's spiritual thought leaders. You'll find science, spirituality, and healing, with a look at Eastern philosophies and completely new ways to interpret the Bible, plus the latest spiritual books and music. There's a little news from Unity Village, and some of your questions might be answered too. Get a free trial issue at unitymagazine.org.
Stretch your mind and open your heart every Thursday at 10 a.m. Central with Yogacharya Ellen Grace O'Brien and the Yoga Hour, Living the Eternal Way. Gain insights into spiritual principles that touch upon the most practical aspects of our lives, like work, relationships, health, and diet. Discover time-tested practices from the ancient system of Kriya Yoga, a philosophy for living a more fulfilled life in today's hectic world. Only on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Call now with your question or comment. 816-251-3555. That's 816-251-3555.
We now return to World Spirituality with Reverend Paul John Roach.
All right, welcome back to today's show. I'm with Tammy Bullops. We're talking about her lovely book, Soul Healing with Our Animal Companions. We're going to talk more about some of the, quote, negatives, learning points. But then I want to spend most of the time talking about some of the practices and the positive things we can do to evoke change and make decisions that are positive and involve our animal companions. By the way, in case anybody's listening in the Kansas City area, I will be preaching at Unity Village Chapel on August 12th, 10:30, I think the service is, and doing a question and answer afterwards. So I'll be talking about the Gita, the Tao, the Bible, and rock and roll. So if that's of interest, come along. It's August 12th. It's just a couple of weeks away. All right. Like I say, I don't want to spend too much time looking at all the wounds, though that's an important part of the book, because I want to, you know, ask you to share some of the positives. But as we said, you know, it's the dark side is necessary, right? We learn a lot in the shadow, and that can be true in terms of our relationship with our pets too. So talk about that briefly.
Yeah, so I'll intro this by saying that, you know, when I did a talk one time to children, they were maybe 6 to 8 years old, I was asked to come in and talk about compassion and kindness to animals. And they had already met all of it was at an animal shelter, and they had already met all the dogs at the shelter. And so I just kind of put it out there and I said, so which one is your favorite dog and why? And, you know, the very first little girl that raised her hand and, you know, very excitedly and said, oh, I want Chloe. Because then I said, why? And she said, because Chloe is just full of joy and she wants to play. And, you know, she was mirroring, you know, this little girl. And so I called on the little boy in the back of the room who was really quiet away from everyone. And I said, and who was your favorite? And he pointed out the dog that, you know, I forget the dog's name, but I said, why are you attracted to that dog? And he said, because it just looked like it needed a friend and was really lonely. So my point is that we are attracted and mirror in the animals with the same core emotional wounds that we have. And there are five, as I see them energetically within my clients, there are five core emotional wounds. There's terror, betrayal, invasiveness, abandonment, and denial of self. So we set up, and the animals will set up these defense energetic, you know, ways to protect the wounds from healing. You know, it's like what we do, we kind of push it down and say, I don't want to unlock that door because it's going to be too painful. So many of the animals that I work with are rescue animals, and then I donate to a lot of different rescue organizations. And a lot of these animals, as you might guess, come in very wounded to begin with. And people are always, oh my gosh, you know, how can we help them heal? And just so that you know, for the people that end up adopting that particular animal, they are going to mirror their each other's wounds. So if that dog has been, you know, adopted and returned and adopted and returned and adopted and returned, he's got an unhealed abandonment wound that's in a pattern that's stuck. Because at a core, he has a core distorted belief that says, I am not lovable. And until he can heal that wound, then he's going to continue to get abandoned. That's how we are as well. So he's probably called in a person that has abandonment wounds to heal. Well, you can heal them a lot more quickly together, which is just amazing, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, powerful stuff again.
Yeah.
You know,
so,
talk about speeding up our...
And I do go into my book of the different things you can do, ways you can identify which wound they have, and then things you can do to help them heal more quickly, which is amazing. You know, things like, you know, if they've got abandonment wounds, if you are allowing them to suck your energy, because the abandonment wound will cause them to be very needy. And those are the ones that's like, oh my gosh, they're jumping and they're all over me. And I just feel so drained when I'm around this animal. There are things that you can do to make sure you're not giving them their energy and giving them some alone time so that they can develop their sense of self that they didn't get from their four-legged mother, you know, at the time, where they developed that sense of, oh, there's enough for me. I don't have to go externally to fill myself. And there's many tips for that. So I have those for every single wound. But the important thing to know is that you've attracted in an animal that has similar wounds as you, and that when you're working on healing your wounds, they get a hit from it. They are going to feel better because of it. And that in of itself, I have seen story after story after story of these miraculous healings once people realize that and begin working on healing their own emotional wounds versus always focusing on trying to fix their animal and their wounds through medication or other ways that it's not really working because the emotional wound isn't healed.
Fascinating stuff, isn't it? I know if ever my wife and I are in a little bit of an argument and the energy's risen, you know, that my dog will often go back to his place where, you know, slink away, if you like, just doesn't want to deal with it, you know, can pick up that energy straight away. And it's fascinating. They're so sensitive and so attuned. And so they are teachable, aren't they? And of course, they teach us so much in the same way. Like you said, there's a reciprocal relationship there. You know, we attract those qualities that we need to work on ourselves. So it's powerful, powerful stuff. You say perfection is overrated. What do you mean by that?
Well, you probably have heard a lot of these cases. This probably goes for people and animals, but people who think, oh, I want to adopt a certain type of animal. They're going to get a dog, and they start formulating in their minds how it's going to be, you know, and how that dog is going to sit by the fire next to them while they read and, you know, and do all these perfect little things. And then they bring this, you know, dog home, and the dog's tearing up the sofa, and the dog's got allergies, and there's all of these issues. And I have found time and time again that when a person calls and they'll say, well, I'm going to have to return his dog unless he stops jumping on the couch. And jumping on the couch might be, you know, for someone else, something that's required of the dog, right? You know,
right.
So when a person expects perfection out of their animals, you can bet that person is wired to expect perfection from themselves as well. But knowing that when you can accept the animal as they are, that they're not having their behaviors to make you mad, you know, that they come in with their stuff as well that they're trying to heal. And so when you can accept the animal for where they are and how they are, then you're accepting a part of yourself in a way that you haven't before as well. We've all heard those cases of the people who are very rigid and said, I'll never have an animal. And then they bring this animal in their house and the animal starts jumping on countertops and doing these things, and all of a sudden the person's heart is open to them and they let them do anything at all now that they got inside their heart. And you're like, wow, that that animal really, you know, changed that person because they learned how to love through that animal. And those are amazing stories too.
Yeah, and that's another thing you have in the book is many examples, many stories of individual cases, right, from your therapy work and other instances. So it's the book is underpinned with direct examples of what we're talking about. So that makes it valuable too, I think. You don't like to go to Crazy Fix It Island, do you? tell us about that.
Well, especially when we're having to make big decisions, on behalf of our animals. Crazy Fix It, CFII, is it just a little term I came up with because as animal lovers, and we love them so much, and we do not want them to suffer, and when they are suffering, we're suffering. And I have seen time and time again, especially when it's in the animal's last chapter, the person, instead of going to that higher place and going to the heart connection to determine and receive the messages from the animal as to what their desires are, they instead go to Crazy Fix It Island. And they say, I've got to fix this. I've got to fix her so that she's not hurting because I can't stand this place. And they'll do vet visit after vet visit and different vets and surgeries and everything else. And I'm not saying that sometimes that isn't what the animal wanted, but a lot of times when we go to Crazy Fix It Island, we're there because our wounded self is there, because we're hurting because they're hurting. And we've got to be able to pull ourselves out, see the higher picture, and trust that heart-to-heart connection we have with our animals, that they will give us signs for what they're really wanting in the middle of those big decisions. And it's, you know, if we're talking about that big last decision, it is the hardest decision, I think, as animal lovers we will ever make. And we do not want to make the wrong one. And so I always tell people that when they're at that point and they're on Crazy Fix It Island trying to fix the animal and do whatever they can to fix it, to just pull back the energy and cry, release the pain that they're feeling. The animals won't mind that you're releasing. They never, you know, they don't mind at all when you're releasing your pain. They won't absorb that. They're going to absorb more of the pain that you're not releasing. And so they're give, you know, if you can get off of Crazy Fix It Island and just trust that heart-to-heart connection that you're going to know when the right time is, and it will not be too much for you, that you can get to that higher place and hold space for them to have the type of exit they want or to have the type of transition they want, then that's going to be a big gift for both of you.
Very cool. Okay, Dr. Tammy, I'm not going to ask you to fix something, but I would like some insight. I've got a problem with my dog, and and that is he's cost me a huge amount of money over the years. It's not for him, his own fault, but he ate a sago palm one time, which can kill a dog, and luckily we saved him, but that was very dangerous. And he was attacked by a pit bull one time. Anyway, each time he gets attacked or he does something that's unfortunate, it costs a large amount of money at the pet shop. At the vet. So what's that about? You know, is that a learning for me that it's okay to release money to my pets? You know, I think because some of us think, you know, well, yeah, pets are okay, but I don't want to spend too much money on them, whatever. So what's the message there? You know, high maintenance pet.
So, okay. Well, see, whenever people describe their pets, I always think they're describing themselves in some way.
Right. Okay. So I'm a high maintenance person, am I?
but what you're describing with the being attacked, has he been attacked more than once?
He was attacked by a cat in a bush one time. He's so curious. He stuck his nose in a bush. There was a cat behind there that really scratched him and made his nose badly bleed. So we had to take him to the vet on that. Attacked by this pit bull, and he gave as good as he got, but it broke his leg, I think. And so, yeah, and then the sago palms, all these things, you know, mount up. So I don't know what's the message there.
So those are things, you know, whenever there's a lot of an animal that's attacked a lot, that's invasiveness wound that's not healed, meaning there's not a strong boundary around him. And so that's in my book as well. The sensitive one actually has a lot of invasiveness.
Okay, that makes sense.
So So both of you can bring him in your meditation time and see those boundaries getting stronger for him, you know, and so that you can find peace around that and accepting that it'll be okay, that you'll have enough, you know, that if something happens. And then anything within you that has anything around invasiveness from the past. I don't want to get into that, obviously, but usually there is a mirror. And so you just want to see that being healed and start visualizing that for both of you. And that will help him be more confident.
I like that. I like that, actually. And he's talking about boundaries. You know, he has difficulty sometimes taking for a walk. not getting overly involved with every single thing that's on the street, especially the other dogs and barking and trying to run at them, etc. So overly sensitive in that sense. But I like the idea of looking at in myself, you know, what aspects of evasiveness that is in me and feeling sensitive. So yeah, that there's I think there's something to learn there, you know, because I'm a very confident person, but I think we all have a, you know, a sensitive side, and I'm aware of that in myself sometimes, and maybe I don't need to be that evasive or protected, right? And it's worth it. So there's the money aspect, you know, it's worth spending this money. It's worth the investment of time, energy, and money towards this to heal it. So. So that's pretty insightful. So I like that. Thank you very much. You've modeled a little mini therapy session. And I think you can, for those listening, you can see how good Tammy is at doing this work. Okay. So it's pretty powerful stuff. There's the chapter on practices. Let's talk about that because you have some good things to say there too. Decisions. Talk about some big decisions we need to make.
Yeah, the guidance that I give people is a three-part process, and I have seen this work within me and my animals over the last 30 years many, many times, and certainly in my clients as well, and it's all things that you know in advance, but we tend to forget about using them with our animals. And the first is that we call upon a higher power to get in the center of it. We call upon God. We call upon, you know, the universe, whatever we call it, to be in the center of this decision, you know, that we don't have to get in our heads about it and figure it out. You know, I always say feel it out versus figure it out. So we want to get in our hearts. And what helps us get in our hearts is knowing that we're not alone, knowing that we're supported. So call upon a higher power to be in the center of the situation. And that's the first step. The second step is to surrender and let go of that need to know and just release and let go of any pain that you have around making this decision. So it's getting into complete surrender mode and saying, I'm just going to trust. I'm just going to let go of everything that I have this anxiety about making this decision around the animals. And then the third would be heads up. Look for those signs then. Because signs are going to come to you and messages through a lot of different ways. Through, like we talked about earlier, about coming through animals and nature. Sometimes it's a song that comes on the radio. Sometimes it's a billboard, literally, or a bumper sticker on the car in front of us. But we have to, or in our dreams at night, that's another way that they will come to us. Sometimes it will be through someone saying or calling us and saying something out of the blue that are, I believe, spirits using them. But we have to be able to believe that there's a higher power supporting us and around us in every difficult decision on behalf of our animals. We have to surrender the outcome. If we think we want a particular outcome and we're holding on to that, holding on energy is not going to help what's really in the highest and best of both to be able to unfold. So surrendering your need for a particular outcome and letting go of that. And then heads up, look for those signs and that you're going to see them when you trust yourself and you get in your heart.
Yeah, beautiful, beautifully put. You know, you have a chapter called Reaping the Rewards, and you said this is my favorite chapter. If you don't read any other chapter in the book, read this one. 12 pages. Why is it so important? What you cover in that one?
Well, I really cover my favorite chapter in the whole one is around the higher purpose of the animals in our lives. You know, if we are able to, in any given situation, pull ourselves out of our stuff and into the higher purpose of the animal, that maybe they're not suffering as badly as what we think. Maybe we're projecting our pain onto them. You know, when I go into these rescue places, you know, I'll say, if you're so focused on what happened to them, you're not helping them heal because they're not there anymore. They manifested being here where they can heal. So let's focus on their future and on the present moment and seeing them well and healthy. And, you know, because they repeat the stories and they were chained and they were blah, blah, blah. And they keep visualizing that over and over and over, which has been helpful. If we can get to the higher purpose of the soul journey of the animal, which they all have, it's going to help us feel better. So, you know, there's, I have so many stories around this. And the one that's coming to mind is this horse named Roy that was out at Save the Horses north of Atlanta here. And he used to be a carriage horse. And when I was orchestrating a workshop, coordinating a workshop, a Healing Touch for Animals workshop on their horses, and there were a lot of students there. And everyone that was tapping into Roy was going up and going, oh, and his shoulders are out of, you know, they're shot because he had to pull a, you know, a cart all these years. And, you know, there was just all this, you know, focus on the suffering. And as soon as I touched him, all I was seeing was visuals of how everyone in that cart was smiling and how he brought joy to the people that rode in those carts and how that was his soul's purpose, to bring joy to the families that were riding the cart. He didn't mind. It's like all of us who have aches and pains, but when we're doing what we love, it's okay. And it's so important to know that animals choose their journeys regardless of what they went through so that they can heal and love just like we are, you know? So getting to the higher purpose, I think, is key so that you can get out of your stuff and what you're relating to within the animal unconsciously and get to the higher purpose. And that's where change happens. That's where real unangered change can happen on behalf of animals. So I love that chapter. I hope everyone reads it.
Yeah, what I'm hearing from the whole, and I agree, it's a powerful chapter. What I'm hearing from this whole conversation is that there are so many ways to learn and expand through our animal companions, right? That even in the dark side of things, where we're looking at things maybe we don't want to look at, there's freedom there. And when it comes to modeling the unconditional love and the receiving and giving that, then that's there too. It's like you can't lose with this. It's everything's for learning, right? And I guess that's true in our lives in general. You know, if we could just see it for that, that I think our pets sometimes are less scary because they're not judging us. You know, they're just accepting. Yeah. It's harder to learn from other people sometimes because we get hooked on, you know, our fears and our judgments around whatever's going on. But it's a wonderful way to expand our ability to have joy in this life, right? In the midst of the difficulties, in the midst of you know, the evasiveness or the whatever we might project onto that animal, you know, if we could see it for what it is, it's wow, okay, I see what I'm doing here, and it's kind of freeing, right? It inspires more love and forgiveness as well for ourselves and for our animal, right? To see a commonality there. It's almost humbling, isn't it, really, that we you know, you could be that open to another being that doesn't have a human face, right? That is but is part of creation. Very powerful.
Yes, you've got it. Absolutely. They're safe and we let them in, and they want us to love ourselves. And when we do that and when we see that within ourselves, then they heal and they've done what they came to do for us. So yeah. Thank you so much. That's a beautiful summation of the book, because it sounds like you've definitely received the lessons already.
Well, and I think working with my own pets, you know, is so it makes it easier to understand the book, because, you know, you've got direct experience with your own animals. So, you know, you can see how it all fits together and works. So, you know, it's proof positive that this stuff does work. You end the book with a lovely love letter from the pet to you, right? And it's just a lovely way to end the book, and it really sums up all the things we're talking about. And the bottom line is love, right? But we are role models for love, and you know, that it's never too late to do that, to be a role model for love, and it's redemption in the most beautiful meaning of that word, right? Beyond the moralisms. It's the idea that we can always rise up together, and I love that idea that you know, we're all in this together, and includes our animal companions.
Yes, we are better together, and we can help more together. And I've seen so many animals and people do that together and be healers, you know, for many people around them. So yes, we are all here to love more.
So if in the last minute, if you had some words of wisdom, you've already shared plenty, but if you have one particular thing that you would impart to someone who is working with a pet, who has a pet, or maybe somebody that's considering having a pet, what would you say to them? What's the most important thing to hold in mind?
I would say hold in mind to look for, to always look at your animal as a mirror for yourself. And if you're seeing positive things in them, to integrate those things, that they're actually not just being who they are, they're actually modeling for you a way to live and a way to be. And they will also model for you what you need to work on and what you need to heal. So always be sending gratitude to them for everything that they're teaching you. Because once we get those messages, then they don't need to go to the vet as much, you know, then those issues just won't happen in the same way. So that's their gift. Their bottom line is that look in the mirror and see what I see in you. And just be open to a higher purpose within the relationship, because your souls were designed to come together. There were no accidents with the two of you that came together. You don't miss being with the wrong animal if you didn't get that one animal you were going for, because the other one that was designed to be with you will show up for you. So when you decide to partner, have a partnership in the relationship for loving more, then that's where the magic comes in. So just be open-minded to that higher purpose of the soul contract.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah. Well, that was quite a show. I enjoyed it very much. I want to thank you, Tammy, for being with me today and sharing these important ideas. And I know it's going to be meaningful to many people, because millions of people love their pets, and they're extremely important. They, as Eckhart Tolle said, they keep us sane, right? There's hope for this world, because sometimes when we look at the news and the divisiveness of everything, it can pull us down. But when we turn to the simplicities of our lives, and that includes our pets, then we begin to see that that's where the true value lies. Yeah, so it's very important. Let me tell you about next week's show. Then we'll say goodbye to Tammy. Next week, Isabella Price is here. She's going to talk about goddess power. Your mother nature threatened a tornado when we last met, and we had to abort the show. So we're going to try again. So that will be next week. Right now, thank you so much, Tammy, for being with us today. What a wonderful show.
Thank you for having me.
And thanks for listening, folks. Take care now.
Thanks for listening. This is Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Are you ready to experience the rich interconnection of spirituality, orientation, and identity? If so, plan to attend Liberating Your Divine Identity, a retreat at Unity Village during Pride Month, June 9th to the 12th. This soul-filled retreat is facilitated by LGBTQIA+ Unity Ministers, with workshops and ceremonies to cultivate a deeper awareness of our spiritual nature. Register at unityvillage.org/IAmDivine2022.